www.thebestofthebest.com.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Republican U.S. Representative Chris Collins of New York has been indicted on securities and fraud charges. Those charges announced when the indictment was unsealed today. The indictment in Manhattan federal court charges Collins and two others, including the congressman's son, with conspiracy, wire fraud, and other counts. Collins has denied any wrongdoing. Sharice Davids has shattered the mold for a congressional primary winner in the state of Kansas as the state's first Native American and homosexual nominee for Congress. A 38-year-old attorney and activist prevailed in a close six-candidate Democratic primary. She'll have to face four-term Republican Representative Kevin Yoder. A smoky Southern California forest fire raging in mostly unoccupied territory, but crews are concerned those flames could easily race down hillsides and towards some neighborhoods. This is SRN News.
There's a mix of sun and clouds for most of the day today. However, by afternoon, we're expecting somewhere around a 50-50 chance of thunderstorms. The high today, 93. This evening, partly cloudy with a slight chance of rain. Overnight, the low, 76. And for tomorrow, partly cloudy for much of the day. The high tomorrow, 91 degrees.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes here with Doug McCary. It is Wednesday, August 8th. We're live in the studio. Doug, good to be with you, man.
Good to be back again. And this week has flown by already. We're already, this is hump day, isn't it? Is it hump day?
It is, man. Is
that it's hump day. It's Wednesday, and it just feels like we were just in Monday. I mean, it just kind of flown through.
Well, do you feel
we're
like
both
you,
wearing our SWAT shirts?
I've got shorts on. I mean, that's a rare deal. I've been in the office today, just kind of doing office stuff. And look at me. I've got my I didn't have enough time to run over to Starbucks and get my drink, but I swung through. Dunkin' Donuts got me one of these, sugared coffees that got about 9,000 calories in them.
I have my green coffee bean refresher from Starbucks, but they didn't have the one I like. Now, they don't sell the lime ones anymore, so now I have to go to, it's called Mango Dragon Fruit, which I like, but it's not the lime. But
well,
anyway.
Good to be here, Steve. Good to see you, man.
Yeah. Steve's back with us.
Yeah. I feel like we've got the team back.
Yeah, I'm having a little problem with my chair over here. Man, I feel like I'm sitting on the floor looking up at Steve back there.
You were kind of low down there.
It's kind of low, man. I'm like, okay, this is interesting. So we're here in the studio on Wednesday talking about Ephesians 2:8-10 is our theme verse for the week. And really, the essence of what we're talking about is that why are we brought into the kingdom? Why are we experiencing God's grace? For a lot of people, we've been led to believe that it's just to be consumers and be part of the salvation train, you know, going to heaven. But no, we are brought into the kingdom to be conduits for ministry, ambassadors, Paul says, and we are to be going out. And we live in a world that desperately needs it. I don't know if you saw, there was an article in the Chicago Tribune today about all the blood that is let up there, you know, the death from the shootings that took place over the weekend. I don't know, some incredible amount of shooting. It was one of the bloodiest weekends in the history of Chicago.
Is
now
that
think
right?
About yeah, think about that. In the history of Chicago, you're talking about Al Capone Chicago,
yeah, exactly.
The Valentine's Day Massacre Chicago. I mean, you're talking about a lot of stuff, and it was one of the bloodiest weeks up there. And then they also had a thing about they're killing children in Belgium now. They're euthanizing children 17 and under. Think about that. I mean,
for what?
Belgium's fairly liberal anyway, but there was a story in the Washington Post about, you know, what they're doing, and this guy who wrote the article, named Charles Lane, said, deliberately taking a small child's life is unlawful everywhere in the world, even when the child is terminally ill and ask a doctor to end his or her suffering, except in Belgium. In Belgium, in 2014, that country amended its law allowing children to be euthanized who were terminally ill.
By their choice or parents' choice? Or?
Well, doctors are allowed to terminate the life of a child at any age who makes the request. Now, think about that. At least three children over there, 17 and under, have been euthanized since the law was changed in 18. I mean,
that's unbelievable.
Think about that. I mean, first of all, there's just so many factors that come into play when you think about that. But again, this gets back to when you start devaluing life that much, and you go, yeah, but it's more humane to go ahead and end their life. Really? I mean, it is. Then you're playing God. You're saying, okay, now's the time, Dan. I'm taking control of my own life. And it's that way we do that in so many other areas of our life now. But this area, what happens when, okay, who starts making those decisions?
Right, exactly. Can a child 17 years or under make that decision?
Well, apparently they are. It's no wonder we get to a place where 74 people are wounded and 12 killed in one weekend in Chicago in shootings, because we just don't value life anymore.
No.
And so
we jumped in right off the bat to discussing Ephesians chapter 2. Which we've been in, we jumped in on Monday, and if you're listening out there, the reasoning, why don't you kind of explain why we decided to go into that text for our starting week this year?
Yeah, well, coming back, you know, after the summer, when I was at Camp Barnabas, our theme verse there was that we are his masterpiece, you know, we are his workmanship, created for good works, you know, that were prepared beforehand. Mm-hmm. In other words, whether you have a terminal illness, whether you encounter some incredible suffering in your life, all these acts, all these things had been prepared beforehand. God knew thing that was going to take place. And for us, there are some incredibly difficult things. People have experienced some incredibly painful circumstances in life, and you go, well, why would God allow that? And my question to that person is, why would God allow his own son to be brutally murdered?
Well, and I think if our listeners, or for the sake of our listeners, because I know this, Doug, you and Lori have adopted five children, two of which have some handicaps. You don't call them handicaps, really.
Well, no. They have some special needs.
Special needs. But they are, like you said, they are God's masterpiece. Mm. You went to Camp Barnabas, which is, maybe explain for our listeners what that is.
Camp Barnabas is a camp for kids that have different kinds of special mental and physical challenges to their life. And they put together this camp experience, like Camp Kanakuk, which is a Christian camp, sports camp, where these kids can experience things as a group of kids, and they do different age groups. Like the week I was there as a camp pastor, it was 18 to 45 kids with Down syndrome.
18 to 45 years old?
Yes.
Okay.
And I call them kids because I'm 56 years old. But, I mean, they were adults, young adults,
sure.
18 to 45 with Down syndrome and some other special challenges mentally. And they were at that camp, and it was an awesome experience. There were 180 campers. There was 200 high school kids from across the country. Some came from Alaska to serve, and it is a ministry. It is a pure ministry serving weekend. And then there's about 160 college students that help take care of all these campers. And I was a camp pastor, so every night I would preach for 10 to 15 minutes and speak to the campers and the staff and the college high school kids.
Now, a couple of your kids went to this camp,
Well, my kids went to this camp just because I was there. They went to this camp during a week where their age was allowed.
Gotcha.
Which was the following week. But last year they went, and I met the camp director. Jason Bronner. And he and his wife hosted us. We stayed with them this year.
They've been on our radio show.
Yeah, we've had them on here, and it's been an exciting year for them. In fact, Jason, while I was there, was supposed to talk to Tim Tebow about coordinating because they want to get involved with some of this stuff what they're doing. And so we were there for the camp, and you know, I was feeling like you talked about yesterday. You're standing up in front of these kids over in the Philippines. You're not knowing what you're going to say. I'm standing up in front of all these campers. And even though I have two children with Down syndrome who are at very different places as far as how they cognitively interact, I was just like, okay, what am I going to share with them? And then they told me the theme verse was Ephesians 2:10, which says we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And I was thinking about that beforehand part, and it really, really became crystallized for me when a young 30, I think she was 31 years old, beautiful young lady came up to me and she said, Pastor Doug, she called me Pastor Doug. She said, if God loves me, why did he make me with Down syndrome? Now, think about that. That's a deep question. And it's a question that every believer probably has struggled with at some point in their life. When you go through a difficult time, something tragic, something horrendous, why? It's the why question, if God loves me. Because the enemy always whispers, but I told her, And this was just a God thing, I believe, because it kind of caught me off guard. I wasn't expecting that question from her. And I just told her, I said, you know what? He made you this way because he wants to show the world how to praise him uninhibitedly, just to praise him without any restraint. And she said, what does uninhibitedly mean? I said, it means like you don't care what people think. You want to worship God and you want to show God how much you love him. And you don't care who's looking. You don't care. Because that's the way my kids are, my Abby and my Becca. Mm-hmm. They just do that. They praise. And if you watch kids with Down syndrome, they just do that.
They're not looking around.
They're just doing mm-hmm. what they experience. Yeah. And she said, I like that answer. And she goes, can you be my camp dad? And I said, sure. And so she started telling everybody I was her camp dad and Lori was her camp mom. But it really made me think about this beforehand part. And God has created us to be his workmanship wherever we are. And so often we forget that. So often we become what I call sucked into the enemy's voice of if God really loved you, he wouldn't take you through that. You know, Brad, if God really loved you, that deal would have come through.
Right.
If God really loved you, you wouldn't have gotten that diagnosis. If God really loved you, this would have worked out. And that's the same thing the enemy said to Eve in the garden. If God really loved you, Eve, you could eat of that tree.
Mm-hmm.
And we base our perception of God's love on our circumstances rather than the cross. Because the greatest demonstration of love in the whole entire history of the world is that the God of creation allowed his son, who was unstained, to be punished for our sin and our selfish rebellion. And I know we got to go to a break, but that is the essence of his love.
Well, that's good. So we're going to continue in that text today, Ephesians chapter 2, in fact, verses 8 through 10. For by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Join us, SWAT Radio.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomnehl.com.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes with Doug McCary. And we are today in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Doug, thanks for sharing just about Camp Barnabas, which is just really, we kind of started off Monday back at it after being gone for a couple of months, actually.
Yeah.
Talking about that verse or that text
In
light of our summer.
Well,
what have we been doing all summer?
What have we been doing? And I was telling about the theme and sharing about the theme. The theme is brand new. And when God remakes us, when he calls us to himself, we become brand new. We become his.
Hmm.
And it's his workmanship. I think you brought that out the other day. It's his workmanship, that things he's doing with us in our life. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. And he created us for good works. And I'm going to tell you, I was brought to tears several times at that camp watching these kids and, you know, having some of them come up to you and hug you and just to love on those. And, you know, the verse that in our culture, certainly in the kingdom of God, they're not the least of these. But in our culture, a lot of times, these young people are so marginalized, Brad, because of their mental cognitive ability. And they've got souls and they've got heart. And, you know, and I have to tell you, I think I've had a place for people that have struggled with those kind of things before. But it was really just, I just kept thinking about Matthew where, you know, Jesus says, you know, when you do this to the least of these are people that are not going to make a big contribution to your ministry. They're probably not going to be people you hang out with on the weekend. You know what I'm saying? They don't have mm-hmm. things that you can go take advantage of. You don't get a whole lot of benefit other than the benefit and the richness of a relationship with some of these people. And seeing them loved and sharing love with them, sharing hope with them, sharing value. And I didn't realize that a lot of these young people who have these kind of medical conditions or these kind of circumstances in their life, they're really berated a lot, you know, in their workplaces. Mm. Like a lot of them get jobs working out in the world, whether it's at a restaurant. And mm-hmm. a lot of people treat them well.
Yeah.
But it doesn't take many. In fact, probably just a few. You always remember the few that are negative, not the many that you can have 100 people be loving to you, but then one person or a couple of people can come up and say some cruel things to you, and that will stick with you. The enemy will use that.
Absolutely. I mean, you hear about that all the time, you know. And I think we see that even more today in light of social media. You know, somebody could say 50 great things. You know, you could have 50 comments that are great, one that's not, and we let that one thing define us.
And so as I was thinking about that with them, I thought, you know, this is the way we should be treating everyone, not just the least of these, but the people that are in the church. And we were talking, you know, at the Bible study yesterday about the love that we should have for God's people because of our love for God. And you just think about that. If we don't love God's people, what does that really say about our love for God?
Yeah.
I mean, I think scripture says it. How can you say you love your brother whom you see or how can you say you love God who you can't see when you can't love your brother who you do see that God resides in?
First John's full of that.
Yeah.
You know, that if you don't love your brother, something's wrong.
Yeah. So as you're listening out there today, think about in your own life. Think about the people in your life, one, that can do nothing for you.
Mm-hmm.
The people that can, you know, you, because we have a tendency to only surround ourselves with people that can benefit our life, or just, so who is it that is in your path that you see that you, I don't really have time for this. It's all around us. Mm-hmm. And I think that was part of the problem with Bartimaeus. Because the disciples, when he came up and he was screaming, Jesus, Son of David, in Mark chapter 10, they go, shh, hey, be quiet. He didn't have time to be bothered. He's going to Jerusalem. He's going to establish his throne. They thought he was going to establish this military-type throne. Mm-hmm. And Jesus goes, whoa, wait a minute, guys. Let's stop. And then he stopped and he said, what do you want me to do for you? And I think we all need to step back in our lives and look around us at the people that are crying out like Bartimaeus. You know, that word there in Mark chapter 10 is an animal-like scream. He is desperate. And I was just thinking about, you know, we live in a world where, Brad, I mean, think about it, whether it's the hurricanes in Houston or the hurricanes in Florida or whether it's the burning wildfire in California.
Or the shootings in Chicago.
Yeah. I mean, there are people hurting all around. And what is the church doing? We're shooting ourselves in the foot because we don't have accountability. We've gotten away from discipleship. We've gotten away from what we're supposed to be about. And we're missing out on incredible opportunities to minister. This fire out in California, it's the largest fire, Brad, in the state's history. Now think about that. So we've got the bloodiest shooting in Chicago in the Chicago's history and the biggest fire. Think of all the fires that have burned out in California in our lifetime.
Well, in fact, one of the coaches who've coached my children over the years moved out there this past year and lost his house.
Out there?
Yeah. So, I mean, you're right. I mean, whether it's fires in California or hurricanes in Houston or Florida or shootings or you just name it. In fact, it doesn't have to be anything like that. There are people right close to us that are going through difficult times.
Well, yeah, and there's no guarantee that you won't be tomorrow.
Well, I mean, James tells us they're coming. You know, when they come, I mean, you know, you and I have said it before. You're either coming out of a trial, you're heading into one, or you're in one.
Hmm.
You know, I think. Looking at that Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace you've been saved. For by grace you're a new creation.
Mm-hmm.
Do we see ourselves that way? When we've come to Christ, when we've surrendered our life to Christ, listen, God didn't call me out of the business world, but he called me to a new calling from a, you know, realizing that I'm his and this is about his agenda. And Doug, I just personally, you know, I struggle with that because like Artemis, I mean, I'm screaming, you know, there are people all around us screaming and yet we're on a mission. You know, it's like the apostle said, well, he's heading to Jerusalem and he was willing to stop right there. Are we willing to stop?
Well, and if we don't stop, we're going to miss out because God will minister to these people.
Oh yeah. Well, our mission becomes priority, not his mission.
Yeah, the thing that with all these hurting people around us, we've got to remember is it's God's grace that saves us. It's not our our faith is a response to His grace.
Right.
Sometimes we flip that around put it, you know, ourselves in control. No, our faith is a response to His grace. It's not our own doing. That means it's all about God.
It's a gift.
It's a gift from Him. And we were created to do these good things. And there are lots of opportunities around. So here's, you know, we were talking about Rod's accountability question. Rod Hanley, who came and did our SWAT retreat. Here's an accountability question for you. In the last month or 2 months, what have you done serving God around you to minister to somebody who has a need in their life, and you saw that need and you met that need? I mean, think about that. That is the definition of the Good Samaritan. You see, the Good Samaritan's story is anyone whose need you see, whose need God has put you in a position to meet. Anyone whose need you see, who God has given you the ability and the circumstance to meet. So we all are interacted with people. So it may be something as simple as Brad praying for this coach out there,
mm-hmm.
or just saying, hey, is there anything that we can send you? You know, that can be a cup of cold water given to somebody who's really thirsty.
Sometimes, Doug, I have found that it's not even asking,
mm-hmm.
because I think we live in a time where nobody wants to be dependent, or, you know, we're proud.
We have to, yeah.
So what I was saying is sometimes it's just sending something.
Well, you just send something, yeah.
You know, it could be just a personal note of encouragement.
To say, I'm praying for you.
Think about Paul's letters. They were tough, some of them, but a lot of them were just encouragement.
They were encouragements, and you're exactly right. We can just take the initiative to speak into somebody's life that we love. One of the guys from the retreat this weekend came up to me and was talking to me about the retreat, and he said, you know, I really appreciate what Rod brought out about the character and the accountability. And he goes, I've heard accountability for most of my life from the church I go to. But you know, after that retreat, I went and I found a friend who's a good friend, and I've known him for a long time. And I told him things I've never told anybody that I struggle with.
Mm.
And I felt like a burden was gone. And I said, that's exactly what it's supposed to be like. So why did it take so long? Why does it take so long for us? Because the enemy does everything he can to squelch spiritual growth, and you cannot have spiritual growth apart from relationship.
Well, the enemy wants you isolated,
mm-hmm.
So that you won't address this burden you're trying to carry. Don't you think, Doug?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So if you're listening out there, who in your life are you talking to about the things you struggle with? Who are you having a conversation with? Who is that person in your life that at 1 a.m. in the morning, you can't sleep because your life is a wreck and you don't know what to do, and you can pick up the phone and call? We all need people like that, mm-hmm. in our life. And here's the thing that's so great. I think that God wants to provide those people. So when you ask Him, God, would you bring somebody into my life that I could do that? I think that's the ask, and it will be given. The knock and the door will be open, because you're wanting what God wants in His word for us to have.
And are you that person?
Yes.
You know, are you that workmanship that was created in Christ Jesus for those kind of phone calls?
Because it's a two-way street.
Absolutely. I think of the people that have shared stuff with me, they were probably scared to death to share with me.
Mm-hmm.
I've done the same. You know, and I'm thankful.
Well, because you're become vulnerable when you start talking about that stuff. And so there's a trust factor involved.
Well, it's, you know, we talk about it a lot. We're going to take a break in just a second. But, you know, it's like going to the gym and trying to lift more than you feel comfortable lifting. It's good to have somebody spotting you.
Yes.
You know, we need to bear the burdens of one another.
So I think there's a scripture about that in Galatians.
As a matter of fact. Hey, join us after the break. You have any calls, any questions? feel free to call us 904-401-1413. SWAT Radio.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Republican Congressman Chris Collins of Western New York State has been indicted on charges he used inside information about a biotech company to make illicit stock trades. Jeffrey Berman is the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York.
Congressman Collins, who by virtue of his office helps to write the laws of our nation, acted as if the law didn't apply to him.
Speaker Paul Ryan, meanwhile, weighing in on the arrest of Congressman Collins.
Ryan removing Collins from the House Energy and Commerce Committee. The speaker issuing a statement saying that while his guilt or innocence is a question for the courts to settle, the allegations demand a prompt and thorough investigation by the House Ethics Committee. He adds that until the matter is settled, Collins will no longer be serving on the committee.
That's Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines. Immigration hardliner Chris Kobach led Kansas Governor Jeff Collier by less than 200 votes last night following the state's Republican primary election.
191 votes. What an exciting night it was. What an exciting race. As a lifelong Politico, and as I'm sure many other people who follow politics know, there are rarely elections like this where you see the lead exchange hands so many times.
Kobach says Republicans can't afford to delay campaigning for the general election. He plans to start immediately, even with a few question marks lingering over the exact vote tally and whether his victory will hold up. California dealing with what many say is its worst ever fire season. Glenn Maskell had to evacuate his home in San Pablo, but he's trying to look at the bright side.
It's sad, but it's part of life. You just got to deal with it. You know, we got our help. You know, we're still alive. We didn't get burned yet.
With 18 fires burning, the one known as the Mendocino Complex fire is now considered to be the state's biggest ever. On Wall Street, the Dow's down 27 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
There's an accident on the East Beltway, 295 northbound at the Monument Road exit. That's blocking the left lane. Traffic is backed up. Also a crash on the west side on I-10, the eastbound ramp to US 301. That's the Baldwin exit. And there's a disabled vehicle on Butler Boulevard on the westbound ramp from Southside Boulevard. A chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms through tonight, low 75. Thursday, mostly sunny, high 93.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. If that music doesn't get you fired up, very little will. Hey, listen, we are in Ephesians chapter 2 this week. Good to be back in the studio. Good to be back live. Doug, good to be with you and just kind of digging through the Word. We know listeners are out there. We want to invite them into the conversation. If you want to call 904-401-1413, I promise we won't put you on the spot.
No, but, and the reason we have the ability to call in is we want people, if you have a question about things that we're talking about from the scriptures or even a take on it, we want you to be able to call in and have some conversation about it, because I don't know a lot of venues where you have Bible teaching where you can do that very much. I mean, a lot of times it's one way, one directional, mm-hmm. and we just want that to be an option. Now, Friday's is our favorite call-in day. We really hope Friday will be a day that you call in, but you can call in anytime. It's just that Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday is primarily getting the content of what we're covering in SWAT, and now we're not meeting until the 2nd of September. By the way, we have had a couple of emails about people wanting to come to SWAT groups. They are not meeting until the 2nd week in September. The way it works is the SWAT Bible studies, the SWAT team Bible studies start the second week of September. They go through the first week of December. Then we take a break for Christmas. Then they kick back off the middle of January and run through the middle of May. Then we take off for the summer. And so the format is we're working through Matthew. And I believe, Brad, when we come back, we're going to kick off Matthew 13, I think, because I think we finished up Matthew 12, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Isn't that correct?
That's correct.
And, Matthew 13. And so we're gonna. Is that right? Or wait a minute. You know what? I don't even remember. Isn't that crazy? It's been so long. I can't remember if it was 14. I'm gonna have to go back and look now because it's been almost 2.5 months.
Steve, this is what happens when we're gone for.
Now this is what happens when you hit 50, man. Well, you start exactly. You start having these memory issues.
Or 55 or 6 or 7.
No, you know what? I stand corrected. We hit through Matthew 14. And we finished up because we talked about the death of John the Baptist. I do remember that. And the feeding of the 5,000, the walking on the water. And so we come back with Matthew 15. So we kick back off. And that's a great section of scripture because you know what? It's about tradition and commandment. It's really about in Matthew 15, it says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain they worship me. And that is a really interesting place to dive into because that happens a lot.
Wow. That's one of my, I think that's a very convicting verse. This idea that I say something with my mouth, but my actions don't line up.
Mm-hmm.
Is that is that pretty true of some of us?
Oh, yeah. And I was reading in Jeremiah this morning and I was going through the passage where he says, my prophets and priests are prophesying false peace. They're saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. In other words, they're telling people what they want to hear. And I think there's a lot of that going on in our culture because people do what sells.
Right.
And listen, if you want a big church, just tell people what they want to hear and it'll happen.
Oh, yeah.
Just because something's big doesn't necessarily mean it's great. Now, listen, mm-hmm. there's some good big churches. I'm just saying that just because something is big does not mean it's a great church.
Because it tends to make me a little bit more leery. It's kind of, what's the attraction?
Well, you and I have talked about mm-hmm. it because, especially with larger groups, it's easy to slip through cracks. It's mm-hmm. easy to be anonymous. And Jesus wasn't about that. Jesus was about going deep with people and having them do life together. Yeah. And that's really what discipleship is all about.
Well, and that's, you know, the whole purpose of SWAT Radio was to take what you're teaching throughout the week, each week, and then let's dig a little deeper into that. And so in light of those who may be out there listening, you know, we certainly understand, hey, getting on the radio is not an easy thing. The idea of calling in fact, one of our callers sent us a message the other day saying, man, I realized, you know, that was, you know, he was a little nervous about what he had said. I said, it was perfect. It was no big deal.
Well,
but if you're out there and you're listening, you may just have a question. Maybe you don't want to get on the air with us. That's perfectly fine. Send us an email, brad@swatradio.com. Doug@swatradio.com.
Or ask at swatradio.com. There's three email options.
We will get those, and I can assure you we will respond to that because the reality is if you're thinking it, other people are thinking it too. So you might be helping some others out by just shooting us a question or calling us with a question. And, you know, the reality is we may not even have the answer, but it'll be good.
Yeah, I mean, we actually, you know, we get questions by email quite a bit, and I'm glad that people send those questions in because that's what we want. We want people to be able to send in their questions about everything from, you know, I think the particular question, the last question that we got came in related to, you know, if God already knew who was going to be in his family, then why do we need to tell people about Jesus? I mean, why? But it's a good question because this was what's going on in this person's mind. Mm-hmm. They're struggling with something mm-hmm. in the same way that this lady out in Missouri said, hey, if God is good, why did he make me with Down syndrome? You know, I mean, those are deep questions that we're hopefully not going to just give some, you know, shallow response to and not ignore either. Now, there's some things, quite frankly, that we won't know the answer to. A lot of the questions, the why questions of life, why does God allow one child to live and another child to die?
Mm-hmm.
We can't answer that other than his sovereignty. I mean, there's just no answer that we're going to be able to, we'll have to wait till we get to heaven to know those. I think the one thing that we can hold on to, is that God's character is that he loves us and he sent his son for us. And I have found in my own life, Brad, that when I am questioning his love because of circumstances, it means that my eyes have gone off of his son and what he did and onto those circumstances and how they impact me personally, instead of how God can use those in spite of what the enemy might be trying to do. Because let's face it, there are two forces at work in the world. There's God and there's the enemy, the Satan. They are constantly going and affecting people. And we see that. I think Job in the Old Testament is the best kind of commentary on that and the fact that that's going on. But I think most people live in a dream world where they don't think Satan's real and they don't think that God really cares about their everyday life.
I mean, think about Job. Lost all his children, lost his business, lost his health. I mean, he clearly states that he's confused.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was thinking of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, which says, he's made everything appropriate in its time. Mm-hmm. He's also set eternity in their heart, yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end.
Mm-hmm.
He set eternity in our hearts. We want to desperately know why. Why did this happen? And yet there are going to be some things we aren't going to know.
Yeah, we don't know them. And so if you're struggling with that, can I just encourage you that, one, it's okay to struggle. David struggled. Moses struggled. We are all human, and we struggle with these questions. And the issue is not that we struggle. The issue is, where do we turn when we struggle? The issue is, what do we turn to when we struggle? Do we turn to substance abuse? Do we turn to, drugs? Do we turn to other things that are not healthy for us? Or do we turn to God and his word and with a belief that, you know what, we can trust the character of God. We can trust him. You know, here's a question that we got that I thought was interesting, and it's I don't know if you've dealt with it as a grandfather. We'll talk about it when we come back, because it's a question that came in. It's a new dad. His wife's about to have their first son, and he's struggling over whether to circumcise his son or not, because circumcision is part of the old covenant. And our covenant's now through Jesus. And this guy's asking, he says, I know we're saved by the blood of Jesus and his life, but how far in the weeds do we go with the law of Moses? My study this morning in Leviticus showed me we're not even supposed to wear linen that's intertwined. How far do we go down that road then? My main question is, should we circumcise our son or should not? He says, I enjoy listening and hope to come to SWAT soon, you know? So what do you do with that question? I mean, do you circumcise? Do you not? It's the mark of the covenant in the Old Testament. Should we continue to honor that? We do honor some things from the Old Testament. Tithing was really an Old Testament thing. Even though it is mentioned in the New Testament, all of it belongs to Jesus. So when we come back, I'd be interested to dialogue a little bit about you, because that's a new topic, and a lot of people are not choosing to do that anymore. And that was a question that was asked by one of our listeners, so I want to get that out on air, because if he's asking it, there may be other people listening.
That's an interesting subject. We will tackle that when we come back. If you want to join us, SWATradio.com. If you haven't downloaded the app, by the way, let me encourage you to do that, and we will join you after the break. SWATradio.com, 904-401-1413.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls. SWAT Radio is underwritten in part by IPC Technologies. IPC Technologies offers IT and communication solutions. They offer help to organizations in selecting and implementing on-premises technologies, cloud-based solutions, and carrier services. IPC offers end-to-end solutions. Their suite of services includes engineering and implementation of services, virtual CTO services, monitoring and proactive maintenance, remote and on-site support and consulting, and staff augmentation. You may reach IPC at 804-622-7233 and online at www.ipctech.com.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes with Doug McCary. And we opened up the emails just to kind of look at some of the questions. By the way, we always want to encourage you, if you're listening, it is a unique format in that Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, typically we dive into the text that we're teaching at the SWAT Bible studies. And then so we're usually about 15 minutes of Bible study. Then Doug and I will usually kind of discuss what we're looking at. Mm-hmm. And then we want to open it up. If you want to call, great. If you don't want to call, you can send us an email with a question. But I think Doug, you want to read that question again?
Yeah, because it was sent in by a listener, and he basically said that he's about to have a son, first son, and has been struggling whether he should circumcise the son or not. Circumcision is part of the old covenant. And our covenant now is through Jesus. So if we want to abide in the Lord, then we study the Bible and follow his commands. You can see that I know we're saved by the blood of Christ and his life, but I can't tell how far into the weeds we go with the law of Moses. Now, my study this morning in Leviticus showed that we're not even supposed to wear linen that's intertwined because there are a lot of commands. You got to remember, in the Old Testament, they had a theocracy. They intertwine moral law, civil law, and ceremonial law. So there were three types of law that applied to the state of Israel that do not apply to us in the sense of those three things. Like for us, moral law still was affirmed in the New Testament, not as a way to get to heaven or a way to be in relationship with God, but for protection for us. Mm-hmm. You don't lust after another man's wife. You don't commit adultery because your society breaks down without those kind of moral laws. Right. You don't steal. You don't covet. You know, those kind of things are still all the Ten Commandments have all been affirmed in the New Testament with the exception of the Sabbath itself being stated. All the other ones have been restated there. So the moral law is still there, but the ceremonial law and the civil law that the people of Israel abided by were a basis for a lot of what we experienced, but those no longer apply. When Christ came, he fulfilled all that. He fulfilled the moral law, too. He lived the perfect moral life. The moral law for you and I is not so that we just live in good, like good boundaries. It also, Paul says, the law reveals to us that we need a Savior because we can't keep it. You know, we've lusted, we've hated, we've coveted, we've lied, we've stolen, we've done those things that have broken the law, whether in thought or deed. So it shows we need. So, but this guy understands that in his question. He says, I know that we're saved through the blood of Christ. The mark of the circumcision is not what saves me, and I don't do that. But why did God require that? What's interesting about the circumcision, Mark, is it was a private thing. I mean, people didn't walk around looking under people's robes to see if they were circumcised. Mm-hmm. They knew by nationality they were circumcised or uncircumcised. So from a spiritual perspective, there's no requirement to circumcise your child.
And didn't Paul circumcise Timothy?
He did, because he didn't want it to create a controversy,
right,
spiritually.
Exactly.
But it was not for a spiritual reason, right, other than just to unity and not to create a controversy. But that's really not the issue here. The issue relates to this guy's asking a legitimate practical question. What do I do? And I want to hear what you say. Give me your thoughts, and then I'm going to share my thoughts about it, because, you know, it's an issue that the younger generation is really wrestling through, whether they do it. We went through it with our – we didn't have a choice, you know, whether we were or not as men. Our parents made that decision, and now our sons are making those decisions for their kids, and on and on and on. So this guy is trying to decide, what do I do? So if he comes to you, what do you tell him if he's your son?
Well, I'd pray about it.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, and I've got two sons. I've got two grandsons, a third on the way. That hasn't even been a discussion among us. And
really?
I don't know about you, but when you were in the hospital, I don't even remember that being a question.
I think it was just kind of done.
It was done.
Yeah. Well, now it's not. Now it's become an option.
Really? Okay.
It's an option for people. And in fact, CBS News just put out a report that circumcision for male infants is less common now, according to Mayo Clinic. That half of all the uncircumcised males this is put out by Mayo, will probably contract a medical condition related to not being circumcised.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah. So, and this was also put out in 2012. So it says that this is a guy named Brian Morris, who runs the School of Medical Science in the University of Sydney, says that infant circumcision should be regarded as equivalent to childhood vaccination. Well, you know, there's a big anti-vaccination movement too, because they've changed things. They give a lot of vaccination at once, and so a lot of people are choosing not to be vaccinated. I relegate those as parental choice issues.
Mm-hmm.
Because every parent has to wrestle with those own decisions, whether it's, you know, private school, whether it's Christian school, whether it's public school. And I'm not going to look at you. I can't say in Scripture there's one thing that says you ought to or aren't.
Right.
You've got to wrestle through what does. But these things have found, this study by Morris from this medical school said that the circumcision rate in newborns has declined from 83% in the U.S. in the 60s when you and I were born to now only, it was 83 to 77%. So it's dropped 6%. That's only 6%, but there's still a pretty significant factor. The other data that they put out in this article is that there was a racial disparity driven primarily by access to procedure and culture and educational factors. There were a lot of different factors. But what I first, before I share what I wrote him, I want to hear what you do. I mean, do you have anything to add?
You know, Doug, I really don't. I don't really have any input into that topic.
It's interesting, isn't it? Think about it.
There's so much in Scripture about circumcision, usually Old Testament.
Yeah.
There's a fair amount in the New Testament, Acts, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, Titus, you know, that addresses the topic of circumcision.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I have any thing to contribute, to be honest.
Well, I told him in the email, I just said, listen, I'll tell you where my wife and I have landed as we walk through this process. Like you, it was just kind of done.
Mm-hmm.
It really wasn't an option. I do. They might have asked us. I just don't remember
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
But I said that both of my sons were not necessarily because of the commands of Scripture, but because we believed it to be a hygienic and a cultural issue.
Right.
The doctors that I personally know and have talked to have communicated to me what this doctor said, that the risk of infection is greater if you're uncircumcised. Also, I said, because I'm circumcised, I felt it was important that their sons be like their dad.
Hmm.
And being raised in this part of America, I thought it would be important they physically resemble their dad,
mm-hmm.
you know, in that capacity. And then I did say this. I said, third, it was the mark of the covenant of God's people. And as Gentiles grafted into the covenant family, I just personally wanted to identify with them in that way, knowing that in no way it makes us more acceptable to God, making that very clear that our relationship with him is based totally on grace through faith in Jesus. And I just said, thanks again for your question. You know, it's fascinating because it is a growing issue, because now it is an option. And with the growth of the internet and the growth of social media talking about issues
mm-hmm,
like that,
mm-hmm.
a lot of people are making more choices about different things like that, whether it's vaccinations and that. And again, I go back to it being almost like a school choice issue.
Right.
As a parent, you and your husband pray about it. You go before the Lord and you do what you feel led to do, but be prepared to talk to your child about whatever you do.
Mm.
You know, whatever that is.
I probably would land in the same place you did. I just don't remember it being an option.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember. I'm sure I did. You know how that is when you have children. You're numb for a couple of days. I'm talking about as the parent, you're numb because of so much is going on. So maybe at some point I signed something that said, yes, do it.
Yeah.
Or don't do it. But I know we did it with our two sons. I know my daughter's done it with her two sons, and I don't know any reason why I wouldn't do it.
Isn't it interesting, though, that that was the mark of mm-hmm, God's people?
Yeah. Well, I love the topic. I mean, I was Jeremiah chapter 9 says, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, that I will punish all who are circumcised and yet uncircumcised, Egypt and Judah and Edom and the sons of Ammon and Moab and all those inhabiting the desert who clip the hair on their temples, for all the nations are uncircumcised and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised of heart.
Yeah. Well,
so I love the topic of circumcision of the heart.
Yeah, we know that the circumcision, I think there's a verse in the New Testament, I know there is, it says all who are circumcised are not Israel.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, yep. In other words, it's not about the physical. It's about the spiritual condition of your heart, like you're talking about. So, hey, real quick, because I know we're about to end the show or the program. I wanted to say tomorrow we're going to have a couple of the guys on that went to the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be talking about that trip. They're going to talk about SWAT, the SWAT retreat. They're going to talk about just what it meant to go over there. And I really think it'll be a great opportunity for you to hear how God can take guys who have never really shared their faith that much and had a great opportunity to do it and did it. And hopefully it'll be encouraging to you to listen, because I'm going to actually have them share what they shared.
And it'll dovetail beautifully into what we're looking at in Ephesians chapter 2.
Yes.
That we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works.
Yes. And if you want to catch this program or any program from the past, you can go to the SWAT Radio app. It's www.swatradio.com. Go to the App Store and just put in SWAT Radio, and you can download the app, create a PIN and a password, and you can get on there and see any program in the last 2 years. So,
good time, Doug.
Yeah.
Good time. I'll see you tomorrow, Steve. Thanks a lot. SWAT Radio. We'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on Past Shows, where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is sending spiritual warriors and spreading His truth.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville.